Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You know what that means.
Lou,
it's time for Lou and the Mr. Fix-It Show. So grab that cup of coffee and your honey-do list for the weekend, honey, because he's here till 10 to answer your home improvement questions.
Samantha, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a problem with my toilet, and none of my ex-husbands are around to fix it for me. So.
So get ready. Because I am about to let him loose. Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:13 in the morning. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware. When you call in, say hi to Elif. She is filling in for Lindsay, who I guess just doesn't work anymore. She just takes weekends off all the time. But she is attending a wedding with her husband. No kids. That's always a nice break when you have little ones. So hopefully they're having a nice time. 312-981-7200. Good morning, Veronica. How are you? Nice to have you here this morning.
Good, good.
And Joe Brand didn't obviously make any big mistakes, and they said, why don't you come back? Who's the guy that schedules you? Is it... Senior Gatto? Is
it
he
is.
The one?
It
he says
is.
That, yeah?
Mr. Cat Dave Bennett, yeah.
Did Northwestern beat Michigan last Sunday?
The exact day.
Is that right? Does that sound right?
It sounds right,
okay.
Yeah.
So I was, my lovely wife and I, along with some friends, were in Mexico this past week, so I just got back late last night. Veronica, I'll show you my tan lines later. It was lovely there, and we were listening to the game because we couldn't find it, obviously, in Mexico. That is a huge win against Michigan.
It was Thursday.
Thursday. Okay. Huge win. And I'm a little bit conflicted because, you know, our money for 4 years went to Michigan because that's where our oldest son went to school. But I've always had this thing about Northwestern, and I really do love them. And that was a huge win. So according to my son, who is the Michigan alum, they're a lock now, right?
That's basically the general consensus.
Everybody's
right
saying
now.
That.
Yeah.
And Michigan's sort of like not quite the bubble, not quite a lock. It remains to be seen, right?
Unless... There's a lot of talk with a couple of Big Ten schools. I mean, everyone's even talking about Illinois possibly being on a bubble right now.
Wow.
They beat Northwestern twice. I think they
right. Only
have one less loss than the Wildcats in Big Ten play. So, I mean, it's tricky. I mean, the Big Ten's favorable. The NCAA likes the Big Ten. So, I mean, we'll see. But you would think, yeah, Northwestern is pretty much a lock.
And where did Joe Brand go to college? The pride and joy of?
Illinois State University.
Oh, the Redbirds.
They're going on a run.
Yeah, so you and
Kevin Powell
are the big Redbird fans, right?
We stomped around Bloomington Normal around the same time.
Really?
And, covered a few games together, and yeah.
All right.
It's actually a big reason why I'm here.
Because of Illinois State or Kevin Powell?
Well, both. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say anything about getting me here.
All right, let me do this. Let me take one call before I take a break. But can I ask you, Elif is in there. Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
So right now I can't see anything on my screen over here?
Yes.
And then also when you type it, I can't see anything either.
Well, I'll tell you the first one is Diane from Palos Heights.
Okay.
And she's on line one.
All right,
she's...
so let's do this. Here's Diane. Hi, Diane. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Lou. I can't believe that I'm number one in your book.
You are number one, Diane. For the rest of the day, I want you to tell everybody that Lou Manfredini, whatever this is worth, said, I'm number one.
I know. I will tell him. yes, we are going to do some bathroom work, and we don't want to. We have ceramic tile in the bathroom, and we have pulled bathrooms apart down to the walls, and I'm too old to do that now. And I'm calling. We do have a powder blue 1960s tub. Now, we did get new sink and toilet, and they're white. But I'm calling regarding reglazing the tub because I don't want to take any of the tile off because it's just plain white tile and it's very nice in the bathroom, blah, blah. But anyway, reglazing, I've got a couple of companies going to give me estimates, but I was wondering if you had any company suggestions. One is Miracle Method's mm-hmm. going to be coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did get, I heard the horn. And then we did a young, it's called Sherwood, and they're going to give us an estimate.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Is this your main bathroom?
No, it's in our bedroom. So it's just actually husband's.
This is not where you shower every day?
My husband does. Oh, I use the main one. He uses that one. We have his and hers bathroom.
You know, my wife has threatened me with that. She said, you know, when we go to our next house, we are having separate bathrooms. I'm like,
uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Anyway. The thing is, well, okay, I have no problem with the reglazing. If the tile is in good shape and the tub itself is in good shape,
yeah.
You know, if they do a nice job, it looks really great. I will tell you that my experience over all these years that I've been talking about this, in about 5 years, you're going to see some chipping and some cracking that you're not going to love.
Okay.
So I don't care who does it. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm very
yeah.
familiar with the Miracle Method people. I don't know this other company that you talked about, but I would tell you that the process is generally the same. And so I would tell you, make sure that you find some references and call them. And in particular, when you get the names of them, I don't want the name of the person they did last year. I want the one they did a couple years ago and find out how it's holding up. If you're careful with how you clean it and how you use it on a daily basis, you'll get more out of it. The thing is, when you change the color from like a blue to a white, the white on white lasts longer. The color change, that's that 5 year thing. And
okay.
And I just want you to go into it knowing that if I'm going to spend a couple $1,000s doing this now, I may have to spend another couple $1,000s in 5 years to do this again.
Yeah.
If I tear it all out and start from new.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like I say, the tile in the bathroom is nice, and I don't want to go down to studs again because we've done that, and
right.
I'm too old.
Then I think that reglazing makes a ton of sense for you, Diane, and I think that from a budgetary standpoint, it's affordable. It'll look really nice. I just want you to go into it with your eyes wide open. Hey, Elif, will you do me a favor and have Diane, I don't have my prize list in front of me, but I bet I have an executive green carpet cleaning certificate because she's down south. It would be even perfect for them, right? Where you can get some carpets cleaned for, I think it's $139 value for this. So that's from our friends at Executive Green Carpet Cleaning. So hang on for being our first caller this morning. It's 7:20 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and get back to your calls right after these.
This is Nick Offerman. Now for some... This is Nick Offerman. Now back to some good clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WD... Son of a... Now back to some good clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
He makes me laugh. Thank you, Nick. That's me, Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show, 7:24 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's George and Niles. Hey, George.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, sir. How can I help you?
Well, I got this shower door, the glass doors, and I got this black goop on there. And I'm wondering how the heck I can get it off without having to spend hours trying to get it's on the pivots The glass shower doors.
So these are swinging shower doors?
Well, they're folding doors, you know.
They're folding doors.
Yeah.
And where the door actually anchors to the pivot where it goes,
yeah,
there's okay. like black residue.
Yeah, it's I know it's whatever that evil stuff is. It comes and it keeps on coming.
Okay.
And I try to take it off with some kind of stuff. I can't remember.
All right. Couple things I want you to try. Go to the hardware store.
Yeah.
Pick up a little nylon. These nylon stripping brushes. They look like giant toothbrushes, but they have a little kick to them on the end, and the nylon bristles are, you know, a little bit stiffer. Okay.
Nylon brushes.
Nylon stripping brush.
Stripping brush. Okay.
And I also want you to buy a bottle of Concrobium.
How do you spell that?
C-O-N-C-O-N-C-R-O-B-I-U-M.
I-U-M.
Concrobium.
Concrobium.
You're going to spray it? You're going to let it sit there for 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Then you're going to take that nylon brush, and you're going to scrub it all off. And then you're going to spray it again. But wait, I got one more thing I want you to buy.
Okay.
This is a shower. Is it like a shower you can stand in?
Yeah, it's less than 3 feet square. Right. My problem is that we're someplace where there's no sunlight,
yeah.
So you never, you know, I mean, it's just... You just stand there and watch it get black.
While you're naked. That's not really the image that I want, George, this morning. I don't even know you. Okay, listen.
I apologize.
Okay, one other thing. There's another bottle of something called Wet and Forget Shower.
Wet and
Forget.
Forget.
Like you and I, we forget a lot, so we can remember that.
I know that very well, yes.
Okay.
Wet and Forget, and what's the name?
Shower. Wet and Forget Shower.
Shower.
Keep that bottle in the shower.
Oh.
Once a week, it's got a bottle with the spray and a little hose on it, so it's flexible. Spray it around the shower and spray it especially right there. It is going to keep your shower mildew and mold free once a week, and it has a fresh vanilla scent.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm not going to like it.
I didn't think I would like it either, but you can barely smell it.
Okay.
It doesn't bother me. I don't like anything that smells like anything, but I think they put it in there just so you know you're doing something.
Uh-huh.
So it isn't like you're going to want a chocolate sundae when you're done, but it's got a little bit of a smell to it.
Well, okay. Well.
You try all of that, my friend, and it's all going to work out just fine for you. I appreciate the phone call. I know I'm a little behind the times because the Moana movie came out a while ago, but I just saw it on the plane. Put it on your list of things to watch. Joe Brand, would you ever watch a movie like Moana?
I probably would.
Is there someone in your life, Joe, that a little someone special?
There is. Yes.
I'm telling you, you sit down with your significant other and watch Moana, you're going to get points.
You know what's kind of ironic about that? My girlfriend, her family does a Oscars party every year, and they dress up.
Oh, they dress up?
Yeah, they dress
up. Wow.
All 9 yards, and her mom was that character this
year. She dressed up like Moana?
That's the Hawaiian movie, correct?
So they dress up like whatever the movies are that were nominated?
Yes, exactly.
Wow, and I got Elif here who doesn't watch any movies whatsoever. I'm putting my pro and con list together, which, you know, I keep at all times. So I've already started one for you too, Joe. Veronica has one, you know, just sort of when people ask me, tell me about Veronica Carter. Well, let me whip out my pro con list. Elif has one. You have one.
What's Joe's con?
Well, I have a whole list. Not enough syllables in his name. That's number one.
Anything in my control on that con list?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But that's okay. It's my list. I get to put what I want on the list, okay?
True.
Veronica, for instance, on her pro side, she makes her own candles, which I think is pretty cool. And her business, when we launch it, is going to be called Veronica, makes sense. That's not my thing. Her friend said that, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the con side, I don't have one yet.
Oh, come on.
Do I have one?
Would you like me to get you in touch with my mother?
Why is she in charge of distribution?
She says I'm a brat. She says it all the time because I'm ornery.
Oh, well, then I'll put that on your con list.
Yeah. But then I think and being ornery is okay.
Yeah, well, that's
keeps
fine.
Keeps you on your toes.
Correct. Right. Exactly. Some would call that ornery would be also another word for that would be strong spirited.
Maybe that would work too.
Right.
She just says brat.
On Elif's con list, it's like she doesn't go to the movies. How are we going to talk about Moana?
Have you seen La La Land?
I did.
The only one I saw.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah,
I saw Manchester by the Sea. That's the only one I saw.
There's an uplifting movie.
It was pretty depressing, but it was pretty darn good. And I cried a couple of times in that one, too, and I don't cry very often.
That was a pretty good movie. So, the joke in my house is my wife and our friend Marianne, they are, unofficial associate members of the Academy. And when we went on vacation, we left last Sunday, and those ladies and all the ladies, and I'll admit myself, was all about watching the Oscars. But we're in Mexico, so we're trying to find the station. Here we are in beautiful Mexico looking at the ocean, and we're
watching
the Oscars.
TV.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
One thing I did like about that movie, I won't give it away because a lot of people haven't seen it, is they didn't make the characters behave the way that we women would have them behave.
No way.
They were total guys about everything.
Oh, yeah. It's a very good movie, but it's super depressing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to come out of there going like, oh, let's go get a sundae. It's not anything like that. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go back to your phone lines. Terry is in Chicago. Terry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Lou. This is not Terry. This is her husband, Roger.
But hi, Roger.
It's a pleasure to speak to you. Enjoy your radio program and your house smarts as well.
Oh, thank you, sir.
My question is not so much a problem, but what is a good temperature to have roofing done? I'm having a small section of my house re-roofed. They're going to take off a layer and on the dormer.
Yep.
And he was supposed to come today, but he called and said he's not coming because of the snow. But I always heard that it's better to do it when it's warmer so that the shingles can lay down.
The only time, Roger, you can't do a roof is in the pouring rain.
Oh.
It doesn't matter as far as I'm concerned. Actually, the colder temperature, what I like about it is that, when it's too warm, a lot of times when the guys are setting it, they have to be so careful walking because they can peel away some of the aggregate as they're walking on the roof.
I see.
I actually, like the weather that's outside right now, other than the snow, so they don't want to slip and fall off the roof.
Yeah.
This kind of temperature outside is perfect. But other than the pouring rain, you're perfectly fine.
Well, you not only satisfied me, but you also satisfied my wife.
It's really not about you, is it, Roger?
No, she was ripping me over the coals all morning. I think it's too cold.
Well, good luck.
So she says, I'm calling Lou.
Good luck to you for the rest of the day, and keep that woman happy.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to speak with you again.
Nice
to you
as well. Take care. We have a fun fact about Moana. Here's Carol in Hanover Park. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Lou. How are you today?
I'm good. Do you have a fun fact about it's Moana Talk on WGN Radio?
Yes, it is Moana Talk. Nobody else wanted to talk to you about Moana, but I do. Were you aware that Lin-Manuel Miranda did the music for Moana?
I knew that.
Mr. Hamilton. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. The guy, that guy just might have a career
music.
He might go somewhere. Yeah, so that's very nice. Thank you very much. All right, quick call before I take another break here. Let's talk to Henry, who's in Chicago. Henry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I've got a flat Chicago roof on a building that's only two stories high with a garden. And I've got trees on both sides. Leaves come off of the trees, block up the gutter and the downspout. What can I do?
On that two flat, you've got a big giant galvanized gutter running across the back of the two flat, right?
Yes.
What you probably want to do is get, let's see, how are we going to put this on there with that giant gutter? They do make, gutter covers for larger gutters like that, which could help. And that way, if you clean it all out and put a cover over the whole top that almost looks like a sieve, The water will go down there. If the leaves collect up there, the wind should blow it away. Alcoa, although they sold this company, but they make a product called Leaf Relief. Okay?
Leaf Relief.
Leaf Relief. And it comes in different sizes. And if you search that out, you can find a contractor to put that in for you. There's also a product called Gutter Guard, which looks like a giant pipe cleaner. And they make that in different sizes. And you can get the bigger one, bigger circumference, and slide it inside there once the gutters are all clean, and that could work out pretty well for you as well.
What was the name?
Gutter Guard.
Gutter Guard.
Yeah.
Leaf Relief and Gutter Guard.
Leaf Relief and Gutter Guard. Either one of those would be a good choice for you to give that a shot. 7:46, thank you for the phone call, by the way. 7:47 in the morning. Quick break, and when we come back, we have our new Tulu 2, which is a doorbell with a twist. We'll be right back. Time now for our new Tulu 2. So you have a doorbell, right? You go ding-dong, and you answer the door. You're wondering who's at the door. This doorbell is going to change your life. Take a listen.
You can control and monitor almost anything from your smartphone these days. What do you have connected to make your home smart? A kettle, fridge, vacuum cleaner, the central heating? What about your doorbell? Well, this weekend's new Tulu 2 is the Ring Video Doorbell. Ring is an outdoor security camera and motion sensor, which is internet connected and can be used as a regular doorbell. Its built-in camera, microphone, and speaker mean you can talk to anyone who's at the door through your phone using the app. Whether that's a delivery guy and you've just gotten out of the shower, or some sketchy person asking for charitable donations, you can compliment his appearance, nice prison tats, and tell him you're too busy to talk right now. Who knows? Maybe you're feeding Butch your trained attack dog. Or are you? The robber will never know that you're actually speaking to him from a restaurant in another state. The setup is simple. You can install yourself and set it all up through the app. The doorbell itself is a little bigger than I thought, about the size of a Cracker Jack box, but this daddy will do what's most important: keep your home secure and your family safe by protecting you against intruders, burglars, package thieves, and any other unwanted guests. It's available just about anywhere for $199, but I know they're sometimes sold at Costco, and hey, there's always a deal at Costco. I'll put all this information up on Lou's Facebook page, so check it out. That's this week's new to Lou 2.
Okay, I think this thing is great. It's not quite a Cracker Jack box, but I get what Lindsay's saying. The module on the outside is a little bit bigger than you think. It's probably a little bit narrower than a Cracker Jack box. But the camera, you can ring the doorbell. Right now I'm sitting here in the studio. Somebody could ring the doorbell at my house if no one was home. And I could pick up my smartphone and look on the camera and see the guy and respond and say, "I'm not home right now," or "I'm in the shower." I could say that. Well, not that I would have my phone in my shower. But my point is, it's a cool security device with a pretty wide-angle camera. A lot of Ace Hardware sell these as well. So if you're finding it hard to find, it couldn't be any easier to install because the camera portion is battery-operated. Pop it right on the wall, and then you download the app and... if you're someone that's maybe not super mobile in your house, you're on in a wheelchair or you use a walker, you want to make sure that you're getting up to answer the door is key. Or if there's a FedEx or UPS driver coming to deliver a package and you're like, "Hey, just I'm here, but go ahead and just leave it on the counter or leave it on the porch and I'll come get it in a little bit." You can respond to people and still be in the comfort of your own home. I like it. It's going to be up on our Facebook page as well as WGNradio.com, the Ring doorbell system. It's cool. 7:54 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Weber, who is in Frankfurt. Hey, Weber, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How you doing?
Good. How can I help you, sir?
Well, first of all, I like the sound of that doorbell. That sounds pretty cool.
Isn't that cool? I mean, it's $200. It's not cheap, but... It's very easy to install, and it's a neat idea.
I assume you're going to need a Wi-Fi connection, though, huh? So
it is via Wi-Fi, correct?
Yeah, so that could hurt some people. But
Correct.
But nonetheless, it sounds pretty cool. But my question is, I'm looking to replace a water heater, and it's just, you know, residential water heater. Is there a difference between a big box water heater, you know, big box store, versus like a plumbing supply water heater?
Here's the dirty little secret in water heaters. They are all made by three manufacturers, either A. O. Smith, Rheem, or Bradford White. Mm-hmm. So when you go to, say, Home Depot, and you buy the GE brand of water heater,
mm-hmm.
I think it's made by Bradford White. If you go to Ace and buy their Reliance line of water heaters, it's made by A. O. Smith.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can see on the commercial side where, you know, things that are a little beefier and whatnot.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Residential, you know, I'm kind of with you, but I got a conspiracy theorist friend who put it in my head if you get it at a supply house, they're much better quality.
No. When you get into the bigger ones, if you're talking about a 40 or 50 gallon water heater.
Yep, just a 40.
It's garden variety stuff. I mean, and I'll give you an example. I own some rental property, and I mm-hmm. installed, this is probably, we're going on 7 years ago. I installed four new water heaters, 40 gallon water heaters in this rental property. They're all Reliance brand, which is the brand out of Ace, mm-hmm. that, as I mentioned, is A. O. Smith. Now, there's three tenants in every unit, so these things get used a lot. And I'm making the sign like an O with my hand. That's the zero problems I've had with these things.
Yeah.
So find the best deal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It really is. Water heaters are a commodity item. Because of how they're made, and so, you know,
I have now is stamped 6-year warranty, and I'm on my 19th year, and I'm just getting a little paranoid, and I want to change.
Yeah, and at that point, the paranoia is warranted because because honestly, you know, the average life of a water heater in the U.S. is 7 to 10 years, and when I say that, people are always like, "He's crazy," but remember, there's a lot of parts of the country that have terrible water. And the heaters don't last as long. With a 19-year-old water heater, you're on borrowed time. Not to mention, you're not getting the most efficiency out of it as well. So
yes.
You're going to have a better deal. And I don't know if you're going to do this yourself or hire a plumber, but you know, if you schedule a plumber to come do the work, as opposed to, oh my gosh, my water heater broke and I need you to come out this afternoon. Well, obviously, you're going to save some money by making it a timed out purchase instead of an emergency situation. So that's my two cents on the whole thing.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It was a beautiful day. 8:10 in the morning. Sun beat down. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Fox Home Center. I was driving. And by PermaSeal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Coming up after the 8:30 news this morning, we're going to chat with some of the works over at the Lurvy Landscape Supply Center. All this warm weather, you know, back and forth. What's that doing to your lawn and garden, and what should you be doing to prep that? Should he be doing anything just yet? I mean, I have my own ideas, but we'll see what this guy has to say. No, I'm kidding. I'm excited to talk with him this morning. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and talk to Helen, who's in Joliet. Hi, Helen.
Oh, Lou, thank you very much. We replaced the toilet ring a couple weeks ago. It's leaking again, and I know you talked about this last week, but I didn't write down the date of the one you said to buy at Ace. I really need help.
Okay, now you replace the toilet ring because there's something leaking. Who's doing this work? You?
Oh God, no, 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 no. My nephew does it all the time.
Okay, and he knows
what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing, but is this toilet? Is it secured to the ground?
To the floor. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't move around when you're using it.
No, in fact, it's rarely used because my brother passed away and we're cleaning up the house so we can sell it.
Got it. Okay. The ring that you want to purchase is called a Santa Seal. S-A-S-A-N-I.
Okay.
Seal, S-E-A-L. It's a. Okay. It looks like a green donut. And when your nephew comes back to do this one more time, he's going to pull that toilet one more time, and he's going to say, Aunt Helen, this is the last time I'm doing this.
Hey, I pay him well.
Well, then he's going to keep doing it as long as you keep paying him.
Oh, yeah.
And when when he pulls that toilet, have him clean up all the wax off of everything and ask him to do this. Make sure that the flange, that's the thing that he connects the toilet to.
Okay.
That is secure. That can't be moving around at all.
Well,
and so just say, hey, you know, I was talking to this friend of mine, because Helen, you and I are friends.
Oh, thank you.
And make sure and just say, make sure that flange is tight. And he's going to say, Aunt Helen, how do you know about this? Just say, you know what, Jimmy, what's his name?
It's his name. Honest to God, it is. It truly is. It is Jimmy.
All right. Well, then you tell Jimmy. Just say, Jimmy, I know what I'm talking about. Okay?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Santa Seal, toilet ring. You'll be good to go.
Okay. That is. I thought it was a corky or something I saw.
No, that's a flapper.
Okay. And that's the wax ring.
It's not wax. It's It's a foam. And like I said, it looks like a green... It looks like a green donut, and you put that underneath the toilet, it should leak or be leak-free for you, no problems whatsoever. Thank you, Helen. Let's talk to Peter, who's in Chicago. Peter, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good, sir. How can I help you?
Okay. Hot water tank issue here, Lou. We have a hot water tank that heats the water for the our first-floor apartment. But it seems like the water coming out of the vanity in the bathroom is always hot and cloudy. Now, I have the temperature control down to low on the hot water heater. But for whatever reason, that water coming out of the vanity sink in the washroom is extremely hot all the time and cloudy.
What else is in this bathroom?
Just the sink and the tub.
Now, and out of the tub, is the temperature of the water the same?
Yes.
So whatever the temperature is coming out of that vanity, if you feel that, it's really hot.
Really hot, yes.
And if you open up the tub there and turn the hot on, is that a single lever or two levers?
Two levers.
So if you turn the hot there, you get that same temperature.
Yeah, you know, I should say not really. It is not.
Okay. And you said to me you have two water tanks.
No, one.
One water tank.
Yeah.
And nowhere else in the house this is an issue?
No, well, no, the water coming out of the sink in the kitchen is right. It's just it's hot, but it's not steaming hot like the one comes out of the vanity.
And the one in the kitchen is a single lever faucet?
Yes.
But we have two levers in the vanity.
Yes.
And how old is the water heater?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew you were going to ask me that, Lou. At my age, I don't even know how old I am.
All right,
I would guess, Lou, it's got the little blinking light on at the thermostat control.
I mean,
I think it's under 5 years old, maybe seven.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Well, here's a couple things to do to just do a little test.
Yeah.
If you have an old thermometer, like when the kids were, you know, sick, if you got one of those laying around.
I do, boy.
Take that water, let it get really hot, fill up a glass and throw that thermometer in and find out what temperature it's at. And if it's over 120 degrees, okay?
Yeah.
Which now you said you have that water heater set way low. It should be far under 120. When the place, you know, when you set that thermostat, there's usually a little arrow or something where the optimal temperature is. That for the most part, it's not across the board, but for the most part, that is 120 degrees is where that's preset. Mm-hmm. If you, now that you have this thing so low, Peter, when you fill that with water and you put that thermometer in there and it tells you, wow, it says it's 130 degrees, then you got a problem with the thermostat on that water heater.
Okay.
And the reason that the vanity may be so hot, you know, if you just have one water heater, the only reason that it could be so hot is the vanity relatively close to where...
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to tell you. It's actually right above...
It's the closest run.
It's right above that heater.
Right.
Whereas, you know, our kitchen sink is about 10, 20 feet away.
Right. So you're getting all that... When you're pulling that water, it's pulling it right off the top of that tank, and you're getting all the hot water. But do this little test, and if you find... With that setting all the way down and you have more than 120 degree water, then you have a thermostat problem on the water heater.
How about the cloudy issue, Lou? Anything, does that pertain to that perhaps or what?
The cloudy issue, what I would probably do is take the aerator off and pull that off. And it could be because it's so hot that it's just reacting with some of the O-rings and stuff in there. Clean that all off. But here's what I want you to try. Let's say we do this little test and we, you know, sure enough, the water's too hot. What am I going to do about it? I want you to go and articulate that thermostat a few times, back and forth, like all the way up, all the way down, all the way up, all the way down. If you can, blow on it a little bit and see if you can get some dust off of it. You know, or if you have a shop vac or something, do a little vacuuming around there.
Mm-hmm.
Articulate that back and forth and see if you can get that thing to work again. If not, okay, that thermostat, Peter, can be replaced. But if that heater is more than 10 years old, you know, if you can, there should be a number on there that should have a date somewhere that you can take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's more than 10 years old, I wouldn't invest any money in fixing that heater. I would replace the heater.
Good. Thank you very much. You're very helpful.
You have a great day.
Good show. Thank you.
Thank you. 8:18 in the morning. My name's Lou Manfredini. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Don't go away. Thank you, Skipper. 8:23 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Let's talk to Carrie in Sycamore. Hi, Carrie. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, got a question for you. It's a weird one. I've got a light fixture in my bathroom. It's an old, very old fixture. It's a very old house. It's, I don't know, probably from the 50s. And it's basically there's a piece that mounts to the wall, and then there's a piece that comes down and with a little, you know, cover over it. And then there's just like a screw-in light bulb holder. Okay? It's a pull chain. The pull chain broke off inside. It's... Now, I know I could take it off and re-put it back on, but it's lap and plaster. I'd rather not do that. So if I grab the, you know, just the bare light bulb holder, it'll spin and start to release. However, you can only do that so much before, you know, the cord is going to not be happy. So,
okay, hold on. I'm trying to picture this. This is a wall-mounted fixture or ceiling?
Wall.
It's on the wall, so it's a sconce. Over the wind, over the mirror, to the side of the mirror.
Side of the mirror.
And there's just one of them.
There's two of them.
There's two, and they're both pull chains.
They're both pull chains, yep.
And the light bulb has some type of glass cover over the top of it?
No, it's just a bare bulb that hangs down, so it's really just like a bare bulb. You know, it's pretty because
like
it's like a
tulip thing, kind of like an arched metal rod or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
And there's a metal excussion or trim piece that covers the box that's on the wall. And is there a little nut in the center of that excussion that you can unscrew?
There is. And actually I'm looking at it right now, so I can tell you I'm unscrewing it.
Is the light, well, you said it's a pull chain. So the light is
the
off.
The pull chain broke. So the light's permanently off until I fix it. And I can pull that out.
And now that whole light fix, right. But now it should come all the way out.
It's not. I can pull it about 2 inches out, and then it sticks, and I'm giving it a pretty good jerk. And
hold on.
Yep.
That's a threaded rod, okay?
Okay.
That goes into a little plate that's behind there that's mounted to the box.
Okay.
That little cap that you see that you're unscrewing with your fingers,
yeah,
that unscrews as well. So if you take a little pair of pliers gently so you don't mar the finish, and you grab that and keep going to the left, you know, counterclockwise,
uh-huh,
that little cap will come off, and the whole fixture will pull off.
Okay.
Try that while you hold the phone.
Well, it's not really. I'm trying it. So there's, I mean, it's
now here's the other thing. Now, one second.
It's square.
Now it's loose. Now it's loose. Well, okay, that's fine. It's still threaded on there. It's loose, right? In other words, you pulled the threaded rod out.
Yep. But I can wiggle it, but it won't come all the way out.
But the fixture itself is still connected to the plaster?
Correct.
Because it's been, like, painted on there from the
1950s. It's painted on from, the house was built in 1896. Who
so
really knows how
let's it. Take yeah. Let's take a utility knife and carefully trace around the excussion with a utility knife to release any paint that's holding the that's holding it in place. Cut that off. Then you should be able to actually have the fixture move a little bit out where that rod is. Chances are there's a nut that's holding that threaded rod underneath there. But if you grab that square pin, that square cap, it will come off. You'll be able to pull the whole fixture off. And if you want, you can replace that pull chain. It's probably mounted through the fixture, and you can go to the hardware store and get a new one, wire it, put the new pull chain on, and put the fixture back, and it'll match, and you'll still have the look of the 50s that you love. 8:27 in the morning. Thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. This is Ellie in Skokie. Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I've got a lot of questions. Eventually, we're going to sell the house. Not while my husband is still here, because he'll stay here forever. He won't empty out the basement.
With Lou Manfredini.
But I'm planning ahead.
Wait, are you listening to what you just said?
On Chicago's very own.
Right. Okay. I mean, in the world.
720 WGN.
She can say in her voice, in her way, that she love me.
8:39 in the morning. Here's our own Chance the Rapper. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Before we get back to your phone calls, let's talk about your lawn and garden and this crazy weather, right? This is something that Veronica just said. It's going to be 54 degrees, and then, you know, it snowed last night, and I think that the lawn and garden and your bushes and your trees, what are they thinking right now? And as to, like, what's going on here? I know spring is around the corner, but is there anything we need to worry about? Joining me from the Lurvy Garden Center is Scott Gutchkowski, who is a sales manager over at Lurvy Landscape Supply. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Hey, Lou, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Lurvy, you guys have been around a long time. Tell me a little bit about your company and locations and what it is you guys do.
We've actually been in business over 20 years. It was started, we have our own sod farm, so we were able to distribute our sod farms through all our Chicago locations. Our flagship store is in Des Plaines, just east of 294. That's a retail and a wholesale facility.
Right over by the high school, right?
Right. Yep, diagonal from Main East and right down the street from Lutheran General. Yep. And then we have wholesale locations in Arlington Heights, Volo, and Park City.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Yeah, didn't you guys, now I go by your, it's off of Dempster, right?
Yep.
And we have a son that goes to Notre Dame College Prep, and so whenever I'm going that way and getting off, didn't you guys just build a huge new building there?
We did. March 21st, we'll have been opening the new building a year.
Very nice.
So it's had great response so far.
Oh, good, 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 good. That's great. Well, I'm very familiar with your company and the things that you guys do. The reason I wanted to have you on is it's been such a crazy winter, and I have to imagine that our plants are a little confused.
They are probably a little confused. You're probably starting to see, you know, some bulbs popping up through the soil, maybe some perennials starting to show some growth, especially in the sunnier areas where that soil's warming up faster.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things you can do as just precautions right now. Like if you use those rose cones over your roses, you want to start putting some vent holes in those. just don't want it to get too warm in those rose cones.
So if you use those over the winter, popping a couple holes in there can help cool things off a little bit.
Correct. It's just warming up too much during the day in there, and then it gets cool at night, and too much of that eventually will just knock the plant out. So,
What about the lawn? I mean, I've gotten a bunch of questions from people, and they're like, well, I'm getting, you know, because obviously the retailers of which, you know, my wife and I are, you know, a Ace Hardware retailer, so we sell a lot of this stuff too, and they put all this stuff on sale, and people want to start putting their four-step plan down, and I'm like, hold on a second. It's just a little too early.
Yeah, the soil temperature probably isn't warm enough quite yet to start putting down fertilizer. One of the tips I share with our customers is when you see, like, forsythia starting to bloom, that's normally a good time to start putting down that first, the pre-emergent application of the lawn programs. So when you start seeing those yellow flowers show up on the shrubs, that would be the time to start that.
Right. And, I mean, the reality of it is, even though it's been a crazy spring, these plants have been kind of through this before, right? I mean, for a lot of trees and whatnot, I mean, they should, if they're healthy plants to begin with, they should be able to survive this no problem.
That's correct. Yep. We can't fight Mother Nature. So.
Right, right. And what about advice for people? You know how this is, right? We're in this winter weather, and we just get a few of those nice days. And I'm sure it happens at your garden centers, right, where all of a sudden people show up. Yeah, I want to do all this stuff and go out and do that. But we all have to be a little patient.
We do. Generally mid-May is our frost-free date, so we've got some time. You can start like cutting down ornamental grasses in the garden. If you've left perennials out there, start cutting those down. I'd leave the mulch on around your plants right now just in case we do get a lot of temperature change. You still have that mulch to protect the root system.
Right. What about putting a little more additional mulch, you know, like if you do start to see some tulips or some daffodils coming up now, maybe just putting a little mulch over the top of that as an added protection. Does that make any sense?
You could. You just want to make sure you're not smothering the plant out. So
right.
If you're around to be able to move it on and off, that is fine, yes.
Yeah. And when will you guys start to start loading up on plants for people to come out and take a look at it? You probably already have some pansies available, I would think, right?
We're starting some cool season things. So those, anytime like mid-March on. Nursery stock material, that's end of March, beginning of April. So we have a little time still, but the indoor plants are all looking great. The store is all filling up with garden merchandise, so there's definitely things to browse.
And Lurvy is not only open to professionals. I know you do a good job with professional landscape contractors, but you do have retail stores that allow customers to come in, regular homeowners.
We do. Our Displains location is open 9 to 5 right now, Monday through Saturday.
Very nice.
So our displays are accessible. We've got pavers and stone on display, so that is all able to be viewed at this point.
All right. And how about do you have a website or a phone number that you could give out if people want to reach you guys and talk to you about plants and taking care of them in their home?
Sure do. The website is lurvies.com, and the phone number is 847-824-7411.
Scott Gutkowski is with Lurvy Garden Center. He's one of their sales manager, giving us a little information about this weather. And just have some patience, and everything's going to work out.
You got it.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
8:46 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. We'll take a quick break and get back to your phone calls right after these.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Rosemary. Hi, Rosemary.
I love you.
I love you, Rosemary. And can I tell you, I love the name Rosemary.
Well, I didn't like it when I was young, but I love it now.
Well, because probably when you were young, there were a lot of girls named Rosemary.
I don't remember.
No. we got a lot of that going on today. People aren't remembering.
Well, you know, Lou, when a young man tells me, I hear him say, I've got an old house that was built in 1956.
Yeah.
If not old, my house was built in 1886.
Wow. Rosemary, yeah. You win.
Yeah.
How can I help you this morning?
Several times. I have a Rinnai tankless.
Okay.
And I've had it for, close to 6-7 months. And every time I turn on the kitchen faucet, the washing machine, the bathroom sink, the shower, I have to wait at least more than a minute and a half, two minutes.
Right.
And I don't know why.
Well,
it's supposed to be not quite instant on, but I'm at a loss.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. With the on-demand water heaters, the learning curve, kind of the difference in how these things operate, exactly what you're experiencing is part of that curve. Okay, so in the past, 8 months ago when you had the tanked water heater, you probably had a 40-gallon water heater or 50-gallon water heater full of hot water 24 hours a day.
Exactly.
And when you turned the faucet on, while you had to wait a little bit to get the water, you didn't have to wait as long because the minute the water came out of those pipes that was cool, the hot water was right behind it. But with an on-demand water heater, it works on flow, meaning that it doesn't turn on until you turn the faucet on. So now, when I first turn that on, not only do I have to get all that cool water that's been sitting in the pipes out, but that initial water that comes out of the tank, that's not hot yet either. It just takes a little bit of time. And so the learning curve part of this is you use a little bit more water to come out before it gets hot. Now, the way that you can, alleviate this is they do make hot water return lines, or pumps rather, that can keep the hot water kind of at your ready. So, for instance, you probably want hot water quicker at the kitchen faucet, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So they make
a pump. And in the shower.
Right, right. Well, I mean, and you can do all of this. There are recirculating pumps that can get installed that will keep the water there. But two things with that. It runs your on-demand water heater more, and so you don't necessarily get the savings that is the whole idea with the on-demand. But you do have the hot water right away, and you use less water. So it's kind of a, people will say, well, I'm using more water than I did before. Yeah, but you're using less energy and natural gas, and because right now you're not using any of the faucets, and the hot water is off. There's no energy being used whatsoever. So this is a learning curve thing, Rosemary, for that water heater, and this is one of the downsides of the on-demand systems is that you do have to wait a little bit longer for the water to get hot. But once it gets hot, it's hot forever. I appreciate the phone call. It's 8:53 in the morning. We'll be right back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to Indianapolis. Here's Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Oh, Lou, love the show. Listen to you every Saturday here on the road.
Thank you very much, sir. How can I help you?
I constantly hear you saying that they should not put a roof on in the rain. Well, finally got a new roof put on back about September, October. They put new architectural shingles down, and they put the weather guard down around it, flat material underneath it.
Yeah.
Right. And they put instead of the felt, they put the white type of material underneath it, like a plastic, not a plastic, but it's a fiber type deal, I guess they have now.
You mean under the roof shingles?
Under the shingles, yes.
Okay.
And then the shingles.
Yep.
Should there be something? And it was pouring down rain for about 3 days while they were doing it.
Well, I mean, my point is, if you're doing a complete tear off, what they probably did with that sheathing is they waterproofed the deck. right? Okay. They put that white material down first.
Right.
And so you didn't get any leaks in the house?
Not that I know of, no. Yeah. I haven't been up in the attic lately.
Right. So my point is that when it's pouring rain, if I'm doing a tear-off, well, how am I protecting the house if I can't, you know, keep it watertight while I'm putting it down? But technically, if I waterproof the deck with that wrap that they put on there, water can't get in. And as I'm nailing away, you know, I'm putting the shingles on as I go up. And as long as it's not getting inside there, it's not the best move, but it can be done. Like down in Florida, when they do large buildings and stuff, they'll take that same wrap when they do a tear off on a clear day, and they'll do the whole roof first. So now the roof is protected because, you know, down in southern parts of Florida, during the summer months, it rains almost every day. You know, they'll get a little hour that, well, they're not going to stop. So if they can protect it, they can just keep going. But as a rule of thumb, Jerry, if it's pouring rain out, tell the guys to take a break. All right?
Yeah, they came out when we had all the constant downpours for about a week there in Indianapolis.
Just go make, you know, to put a little peace of mind. If you can poke your nose up inside that attic and see what's going on up there, I think that would be a wise decision just to make sure that you don't have any leaks and any evidence of water damage up there. But if they protect it, it's fine. It's fine. Appreciate the phone call. Hey, before we get to news, I want to remind you, I'm going to Spain. Hey, you're like a young traveling person. Have you ever been to Spain?
That is one country that I have not been to.
Do you want to come?
Yes.
Do you have $3,659?
Let me just check my bank account.
Okay, really check quick. Your bank account, because if you have $3,659 per person, you can come with me and go to France October 20th in 2017. Come on,
France,
you and me.
Spain.
What did I say?
You said France.
I'm going to Spain.
Okay.
I was thinking of France.
Can we go to both?
No, not this time.
Oh.
We can go again later, but you can come with me. My wife's going to be there, too, so I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's included round-trip airfare from Chicago, all departure taxes and surcharges. This is a, oh, my gosh, it's a seven-day trip. We're going to go from Chicago. We're going to fly into Madrid. We're going to spend a couple nights in Madrid. Then we're going to go to Granada, Seville, back to Madrid.
Oh, my God.
We've got tour guides throughout, luxury motor coaches, breakfast every morning. 4 3-course dinners. We're going to have tapas in Seville. Come on.
Jeez.
Who doesn't love tapas? We're going to have these great tours, and the hotels are fabulous.
I'm sure.
It's all happening October 20th of 2017. So if you'd like to join my wife and I, this is part of the whole Steve Bertrand wonderful experience, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club's band travel packages that he puts together. You can email Steve at stevebertrandtravel.com. steve@stevebertrandtravel.com. For some reason, his phone number is not on this sheet of paper. I'm not doing a good job selling this at all because I can never find the phone number. Do you have a phone number for Steve?
I'm looking.
847. Anyway, you can find out more information at wgnradio.com as well, and just search Treasures of Spain or Steve Bertrand. It'll come up. But this is really a lot of fun, and I will tell you this. I'm very impressed because a lot of you have already signed up for this thing. So it's filling up fast. It's going to come before you know it. 8 days. It's a private group tour with myself, my lovely bride, and all of you. It should be a lot of fun.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Is this $3,000 all-inclusive, meals,
hotel? I mean, you do have some time on your own, but all the hotels, all the travel, a bunch of meals. So, in other words,
in the 3,000.
Yeah. So
that's really good.
Right.
Actually.
So we're going to spend 2 nights in Madrid at a 4-star hotel, 1 night in Granada, 4-star hotel, in Seville, 2 nights, 5-star hotel, and Madrid back there, another 4-star hotel. And you get breakfast every morning, 4 3-course dinners with wine and restaurants. How about the flamenco dancing? Can you dance?
I like to dance. I won't say I can dance.
Is that on my pro con list? Is it a pro or is it a con?
I think you can put it under the pros because it's something that I'm willing to.
Veronica,
try.
Can you dance?
I love to dance.
Oh, Veronica! Veronica totally can dance. Joe?
Oh yeah.
Joe, can you dance?
I can cut a rug. I can't really
Ooh.
Dance though.
Well, so is that a con or a pro on your list?
Probably a con.
You know what's
it's
also
not looking good, Joe.
You know what's also nice about this, the fact that it's a good price, and they include everything.
Right?
They also plan everything for you, so you don't have to wander around.
Come with, get on the bus, let's go.
A country like a noob.
I know.
You know?
Come on, it's going to be a lot of fun.
This is John Williams. Every Saturday morning, I listen to Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. And I say to my wife, Brenda, Brenda, we got to do the stuff Lou's talking about. And then every Sunday morning, I say to Brenda, what did we do yesterday?
Hey, I hear that, John Williams. Now back to Lou on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Today I don't feel
like doing anything. Mr. Do-Nothing Around the House is coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. The John Williams Show. We'll talk to John in about an hour. Hey, by the way, Steve Bertrand's phone number, if those of you want his phone number, is 847-606-6065. Just call him and said, Lou told me to call. I want to go to Spain. We had a listener text in who I don't want to come, who said, can I get a haircut in Seville? Get it? I'm kidding. 847-606-6065 or Steve at SteveBertrandTravel.com. 9:12 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's also our text line, so if you want to text us, we will answer those questions coming up after the 9:30 news. Elif will read those this morning. Let's go back to the phone lines now and talk with, this is Richard in Orland Park. Richard, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you, sir?
I have installed a tankless water heater in my kitchen, and now I get hot water in 5 seconds.
You put one under the sink or in the basement under the kitchen?
It's under the sink in the kitchen.
So it's a small little on-demand unit.
That's right.
Okay.
So I get hot water in 5 seconds, but it's really hot. So to wash my hands, I open the cold water faucet, and I get the funk. Oh, I was wondering what I could do about that.
I'm sorry. You said you when you turn on the cold water, so you put the, you temper it with the cold, and what happens?
I get a thunk. I hear a thunk.
You get a thunk.
Yeah.
Hmm. Only if you turn on the cold.
Actually, it works in reverse. Put the cold water on first, full blast, and then the hot water. Thunks also.
The little unit is electric.
It's electric. I have a flexible steel braided hose feeding the unit and the faucet.
On this a little electric unit, do you have a temperature setting?
I think it's only if you wire it for 120 or 220. I believe I wired it for 220.
So it's running off of a 240 line, but there should be a thermostat on it.
Oh, yes, there's a thermostat. They say in the instructions, when you finish with the hot water, to run cold water through it, because it senses heat and no flow, it will trip the little circuit breaker in the unit.
Hmm. Wait. When you finish with the hot water, so if you wash your hands and you turn it off, then what? Then what you're supposed to do is
run some cold water again.
But on this electric water heater, you've got that sitting under the sink. You've got a cold line going up to it, correct?
Yes.
And you've got one line coming out of the top that goes to the hot water side of the faucet.
That's right.
So how do you run cold water through it? You flip the switch?
No, the cold water comes off of my tee from the cold water inlet and goes directly to the cold water faucet.
All right, okay. I got it. So in other words, you got a cold water line coming up and you have a tee right before the unit that feeds your cold and the hot at the same time.
Yeah, the tee with the cold water feeds the unit, the output would be hot water, goes to the hot water faucet.
That's your problem. That's your problem. You need to remove that T. And so where your cold water line is now, I assume it's a copper pipe coming up through the bottom of the sink?
Yeah, it comes out the wall.
Comes out of the wall. That's where I want the T.
Yeah, that's where I have the T.
I thought you said you have it right before the you don't have the T right before the so you have a T coming off of the copper.
Yes.
One goes up to the faucet up, and one goes into the
yep.
Okay.
Goes into the unit.
I think you don't have enough flow. You don't have enough volume of water to do what you're doing out of that heater. And the fact that you're and it's slowing the water down, which is where the thump is coming from. So two things I want you to do. If possible, well, you said it comes out of the wall, so you don't know where it's coming from. I need a bigger I need a bigger water line coming into it with more volume, like a 1 inch, but you need to go find a spot in the basement, if you have a basement, where you see a 1 inch or a 3/4 line. But you need to turn that heater down so that it doesn't so it doesn't slow the water down that much to heat it, and it'll temper it more. And I think if you lower that temperature on that electric unit, there has to be a setting somewhere underneath the cover that will allow that system to work better. But I think you may need to get more volume of water to it with a larger water line feeding to it, which that should help as well. I appreciate the phone call. I know you want me to break, but I want to help some other people here real quick. Where? Carol? Okay, let's talk to Carol. Hi, Carol and McHenry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Just okay?
Yeah.
All right. Can we make it any better? Can we do anything today to make it better than okay?
I hope so.
All right, let's try.
I have an area in the front of my house that's under a maple tree and extremely shady. It's the northwest side of the house, and every year I put in grass seed, and it grows, and then it just grows in certain spots, doesn't fully cover the area, and now it's spring, and there's no grass left. I was at a Restore Habitat store last week, and they have grass seed there, and they also have the blue patching grass seed. But they're old, and I was just wondering, does grass seed, when it's old, is it still good?
I mean, it doesn't go bad, but what I'll tell you is that under that maple tree, what you need is a really, you need a really good, dense shade seed.
Right.
Okay, so if they're selling it and you don't have, and it doesn't have the dense shade moniker on there, nothing's going to grow. So even though it's a deal, like the grass seed that's the blue, you know, that's got the crystals on it, it's not going to grow. Couple of different seeds that you can try. Certainly, you know, the folks at Scott's have it, that they have a dense sheet version. You may have heard me talk about Bonide, which you'll hear a little bit about. Their plant food and stuff. They make a grass seed under their DuraTurf line, and they have this dense seed blend that's really good. That you, it's a little too soon now. The soil's too cold, but when it warms up a little bit, I want you to scrape a little bit of the soil, put down the grass seed that says dense shade, cover that with peat moss, and then keep it moist. And you should be able to grow grass. The other thing, too, is whenever you get a lot of shade like that, if you can trim that tree up a little bit so you can allow some sunlight to get in there, that'll make a world of difference. And really, right now, before they start to bud, you could do a little bit of trimming quickly, probably in the next couple weeks, pre-spring trimming, so that you, you have things looking good. But something that says dense shade will make a huge difference. 9:20 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Now, back to the Mr. Fix-It Show with your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There's nothing wrong with a hard hat and a hammer. Kind of glue and sticks this world together.
9:23 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number.
God bless the working man.
Here is Joe in Schaumburg. Hey, Joe, you're on WGN.
Hey, Lou, love your show. Hey, I'm just looking for a couple
people in Schaumburg that you could recommend for, like, handyman-type services? Do you have any suggestions?
I mean, I don't have anybody specific to Schaumburg, but a place that would be a good place to start is, you've probably heard me talk about the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, NARI.org. Yep. And NARI is a really fine organization that keeps track of everybody, and they've got handymen that are part of their business. There's also been a company called Upkeepers that has been around for a while. They have handyman services that work all over the Chicagoland area, and I think that they could probably help you as well.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much.
You got it, and I appreciate you listening and calling in this morning. Let's talk to Dick, who's in Mount Prospect. Hey, Dick, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking the call. We love your show.
Thank you, sir. How can I help you?
Lou, I've got a 50-year-old home, and I'm looking to get the vents cleaned. They are horrendous. I took about 10 pounds out of one the other day.
Wow. Okay, well, two things. Cleaning the ducts are important, but if you're getting a lot of dust and debris that's flowing through there, you may also want to consider having the ducts sealed.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you the name of somebody that could provide you with an estimate for both. Do you have a pencil?
I do indeed.
All right. Dykstra Home Solutions. D-Y-K-S-T-R-A.
Got it.
All right, ready? 844-844?
Okay.
844-371-3220.
Beautiful.
844-371-3220. You tell them I told you to call. They'll do a nice job for you, giving an estimate on both. And they've been around a long time, and they know they're a heating and cooling company, but they also offered this service as well.
Very good. Thank you so much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200. This is Michael in Crystal Lake. Michael, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I've been listening to your show for years. I really like your practical, common sense solutions.
Thank you.
Learned many.
Thank you.
Last year, squirrels got up inside my engine compartment, chewed the wires, $3,800 worth of damage.
Oh, my gosh.
10 days later, they did it again. After I had the car back for 4 or 5 days, they did it again. And yesterday, the car just got towed in because they were in there and chewed up some more of the wires. The rental car was sitting in my driveway overnight, and they started chewing up the insulation in it. My son saw them come out from underneath the car and went out and checked, and sure enough, they were up in that one. His car... Forenza has been sitting still for a couple of years, and they're not touching it, and they don't touch my Ford truck. But my car is a Toyota, and the rental car is a Toyota.
Well, then they don't like Japanese car manufacturers, then. You know what? I think you need to buy a Chevy.
Well, the Prius gets some pretty good gas mileage.
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So here's the problem. You know, there is something that I've heard this before. There is something sweet in the wire that they love to chew, and it's interesting that they are attracted just to those two cars. I mean, this is a problem as far as how you do it. First of all, you keep a light. But like a light shining underneath there that would probably deter them to come in because it's lit, right? Because they're doing it at night to stay warm. The other thing that you could try is, and I think that this will have I don't know that this has an effect on squirrels, but there's a repellent, a rodent repellent, and it may work on squirrels, called Fresh Cab, C-A-B, okay? They're these little sachets that smell like, mint. And rodents don't like them, and squirrels are a rodent.
Right.
I'd have to look in the package because if it works. But you could put these in the compartment and like clip them onto a wire that you could let them hang there. And you know, in other words, you'd have to get up underneath there and put them there and clip them on, and then every 30 days change them out, which is crazy. You park the cars in the same spot every time?
Pretty much. Just in an open driveway, and they are nesting.
They're nesting in the car.
Yeah, we actually took babies out last year.
Oh, my gosh. I would try this fresh cab. You know, the other, the light going underneath there, do you have some information for me?
Yes, I do. There have been testimonials that it does work on squirrels.
It does, on the fresh cab. You can buy this package at the Ace. Get up underneath that.
I'm going to be going there next.
Get up underneath there, and maybe what you're going to do is get, you know how you can get those, you know those clips that you use on if you're putting files together, those big spring clips?
Sure, the black
ones with the chrome, they're real strong. So get some of those, the heavy-duty ones. Wrap around the wire. They have a, you know, it's like a sachet, and it has a top. Then you can wrap around a wire and then clip it. You know, don't let it hang down so it's, you know, blocked from the wind when you're going 60 miles an hour. But I bet you could find a spot to clip it. A few of them, you won't smell it, but they will, and I bet it'll keep them away.
I'm headed to the Ace.
All right, I appreciate it. That is terrible, $3,800 spending on your car. That's good. Thanks, Ella, for that.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
Who wants to talk? Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in.
You got to blow it out. Time for our Just Text Me segment. Aleph has been working her little tail end off in the producer's booth today, filling in for Lindsay. How's it going in there?
It's going really well.
Yeah?
I'm having
fun. It's almost done.
Are you having fun?
I'm having a great time. I know I stress you out because you keep telling me, break, and I don't listen, and you're not mean enough. I could talk to you about that, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I don't know. What can I say?
I know. All right, what do you got for me?
All right, 773 says, morning. I have a new house that's 18 months old. Front door's weather strip pushes the door out enough so the deadbolt doesn't shut easily. I have an August smart lock and tapered deadbolt. How do I adjust the strike plate and or hole?
Well, I mean, I like the fact that the weather stripping is tight because if you lean in, it helps to seal the door better. You know, you kind of lean on the door and then you lock it. And then it's nice and tight. But if you don't want to do that, can you tell if it's a man or a woman? By their text, by the way they text? What's your guess?
Woman?
Okay. Take some lipstick. And if you're a man and you use lipstick, it's none of my business. Open the door. Throw the lock. Like you're going to throw the lock with the door open. And you're going to paint the end of the tip with lipstick. Then you're going to take the lock off again. You're going to close the door to where you want it to be. Then you're going to take the lock and you're going to go, and you're going to try and lock it, and it's not going to lock. One time, bang. Open it up. You're going to see the lipstick on the jamb. Then you can adjust the strike plate to where that hole is, so then when you close the door, it locks perfectly.
Does it matter what brand?
Of lipstick?
Yeah.
I don't even know a brand of lipstick. Is that what would be a brand of lipstick? I don't even know. Maybelline? Do they make lipstick?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Maybelline. I prefer Maybelline.
Okay.
You know, I wear powder when I'm on television. I'm a cover girl, just so you know.
You're a cover girl.
I am. I have
a cover
girl.
Cover boy, how about?
But it is cover girl. They don't make cover boy.
That's true.
Yeah, in my black bag somewhere, there's a thing of powder.
And Ellen.
Is she a cover girl?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Me and Ellen. There you go. I like that.
Another 773 asks, what's better, larger tank or quick recovery on hot water heaters?
Quick recovery. If you're going to do a tank water heater, the average family of four does, if you kind of time out your how you shower, because really showering is the thing that uses the most hot water, a 50-gallon water heater is more than enough. Having a larger tank just means you're heating more water waiting for you to use the hot water. 20% of the energy used to heat the water in a tank water heater is for standby. That's, you know, right now, all of you that have a tank water heater, I mean, you're Are you in where are you living? You living at home, apartment?
Apartment.
What do you got? Okay. So, and do you have roommates?
Yeah.
And are your roommates asleep right now?
One of them is not, actually.
Oh, all right. Well, my point is that water heater that you probably pay your own utilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's hot, waiting for you to use it. Nobody's taking a shower. 20% of the money you spend on an annual basis goes for standby, which is why I'm such a proponent of on-demand water heaters, because then that standby essentially is gone. But high recovery means it's going to heat up faster, and don't buy a 75-gallon water heater for that purpose. The only reason you would get something that large if you don't want to go on demand is if you have like a giant whirlpool tub, because you'll drain that thing before it fills up. Okay.
Okay.
I'm done with my soapbox. I've just stepped off.
That's a good answer. The only reason I told you that one of
your roommates awake.
One of them is Griffin, who works here in the building, and he's producing the next show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So your roommate with Griffin, and who else?
And a girl named Kate.
Wow, it's like Three's Company. You have no idea what that is, do you?
I do. I do.
Oh,
I
all
used
right,
to watch
right.
that show.
Really?
Surprisingly, yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Does he play the role of John Ritter?
Oh my gosh. Sure.
That would be the guy.
That would be him,
right.
Yes.
Right. Can I be Mr. Furley?
Mr. Furley, right? Or Mr. Roper, the original. You remember Mr. Roper? How do you know Three's Company? Two of you are, my shoes are older than both of you combined.
Not that young.
Nick at Night.
Nick at Night.
Yeah.
Nick at Night growing up.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Furley. That's funny.
James says, "Hey, Lou, I have a single lever shower faucet that you rotate to go from cold to hot. The problem is there isn't much warm in between. How do I make it so there's more between the hot and cold? Thanks, James."
On the single lever faucets, there is an anti-scald feature to them. And depending on the type of faucet it is, if you take the handle off, depending on what it is, you should see a little plastic stopper with almost like a gear, and that can be adjusted. And you have to pull it and turn it so that there's more of a an adjustment available to do that. And then it's a little trial and error. But it necessitates you taking the handle off. And the other thing that I would tell you before you do any of this, make sure that the drain is closed and put a washcloth over the top of the drain, because if you drop the screw, you'll really be bummed out down the drain. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I hope James agrees.
I hope so, too. How about one more?
616. Lou, outside concrete patio drain, very slow to drain, often pulls up with... Outside concrete patio drain is very slow to drain and often pools up with water. My patio area can be filled with water for days. I know the drain goes down and away from the house, but not sure where the other end is.
Well, the first thing that I would do is try plunging it and, pour some water to make it fill up, and then take a plunger and really try to plunge it. My guess is, since it's an outdoor drain, if it in fact is connected to anything, it's full of leaves and debris, and you might be able to just force it out by using a plunger, or if you can take the lid off and actually reach down inside there and pull any debris out. But I really would like to know where it goes. If it's just going into the yard somewhere, that other end may be clogged, and so you do need to find out where that is and see if you can uncover it to drain it out. I mean, you could certainly put a sewer camera. You could pay someone to come do that, but that's kind of crazy.
Interesting.
You'd spend a lot of money figuring, sometimes, you know what I would do? Every now and then, PermaSeal runs a deal where they do some like $200 sewer camera deal. And maybe you get them to come out and do that for you, and then you'd find out for sure what's going on. How about that? All right? 9:47 in the morning. What would you like me to do? Take a call?
I would like you to break. Is that
all right,
okay?
Then I will take a break at 9:47 in the morning. We'll be right back. What I will tell you is, if they're going to do that underground, and they're going to think you're so smart too, Phyllis, when you say this, when you use the PVC pipe, I want you to use Schedule 80 pipe.
Schedule 80.
Just say it like that. Make sure you're using Schedule 80. Say it with confidence like that,
okay,
and the guy's going to be like, oh, my God, this lady's a genius.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:51 in the morning. Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It, the Mr. Fix-It Show, all that good stuff. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Joe in Orland Park. Hey, Joe, you're on WGN.
Hi there. I just...
Not Joe, you're Joy. I'm sorry. Sorry, I said Joe.
It's okay. I wasn't sure if it was me or not. I have a small bathroom that was redone, one floor ranch, Orland Hills, old house. Redid the bathroom about 7 years ago, down to the studs, put in the heated flooring. It's only about a 4.5 by 4.5 space other than the tub.
And you love the heated floor.
Tiles. Heated floor is nice. That was somebody else's choice, but I love it. The house, when I bought it, was settling years ago, and I remember my husband was like...
Wait, I'm losing you. What did you... Hold on.
Okay.
Talking to the phone, I lost what you just said.
Okay, when I bought the house years and years ago, the floors were creaky, and my husband was under in the crawl space shimming it, is what he called it.
Yeah.
Well, this is years later. Now I have this bathroom. The floor's been fine for 7 years. Now suddenly the floor's starting to creak. My question is, can I go under there in the crawl space and do that same shimming idea if there's that heated floor thing installed in ceramic tile?
The heated floor, was it a hot water based or is it an electric pad?
It's an electric with a thermostat.
Yeah. Yes, but instead of doing that, this is what I would prefer. The shimming could work, but this might, who's going to do this work?
I would have to have a friend go down there and check it out. I also want to make sure there's not a leak because even though the bathroom was redone, there's a little bit of the tub that needs caulking where the tile messed up with it. So I want to make sure it's not water damage.
So here's what I'd prefer you do. In that little area, since it's so small, where the flooring meets the subfloor, I want you to cut little 2x2s, 2x2 pieces of wood. And in that corner where the joist meets the floor, I want you to screw in, I want you to put construction adhesive on the top edge and on the side edge. And I want you to put the 2x2 up in that spot. And from the corner of the 2x2 with a deck screw, I want you to go in on an angle so you're screwing it to the joist, but in an upward motion.
Okay, so screwing the joist to the
screwing the 2x2 to the joist from the corner, outside corner of the 2x2, you're going to put glue on the top and on the side into that corner, and you're going to screw it in that way, but I don't want you to screw up to the floor because I don't want you to poke up into the floor.
Right.
See what I mean? But you're going to do that in every one of those joists, and you're going to stay off that floor for 24 hours.
Okay.
And that should... Yeah. Stop the squeak for good. Here's the other thing, too. Underneath that floor, where the joists are in that floor, perpendicular in the center of the floor, on the bottom side of the joist, I want you to screw a 2x4 as a bridging on the bottom to keep the joist from rocking when you're going in and out of there.
Okay, so it's almost like sistering it?
Correct. You're sistering with the 2x2, but the 2x4 is on the bottom of the joist, down below when you're looking up, in the center of the bathroom, screwed to the bottom of the joist.
Okay, and can I do that under the tub, too, if that's starting to make a little of the same noise?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Lou.
Thanks, Joy.
Happy trails to you.
Time for our last caller, sponsored by Townstone Financial. Thank you so much for listening today. Elif, thanks for producing. Joe, for doing the sports. Veronica, as always, doing the news. And Bob Ferguson for making sure that you can hear us. Our last caller is going to receive a Mr. Fix-It Loose Crew t-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center and ALSEP, and created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet. Betty's in Michigan. Hi, Betty.
Hi, good morning.
How can I help you?
We have a subfloor that needs to be replaced, It is in our kitchen, which we put on an addition 25 years ago.
Okay.
And when the builder, our contractor that we hired, put in the original subfloor 25 years ago, he butted up the new floor to the old floor on top of the foundation wall, and it created a slight ridge, which wasn't too much of a problem because we put in linoleum.
Okay.
And now we have wanted to put in laminate floor. And a very long story, very short, we hired what we thought to be and considered a reputable contractor to put in the flooring, said they could handle it, and the ridge.
Guy's name Chuck?
No.
Oh, all right. No, I'm just saying, because a lot of times people hire a guy named Chuck, and he has a truck, and that's who they hire.
No.
Okay. All right. Go. Keep going.
No. Okay. And when I took up the linoleum floor, and we had put the Luan over it,
mm-hmm.
and showed them the ridge. They said they could handle it. They'd fill it with self-leveling floor stuff.
Right.
When they did it the first time, I'm like, this isn't acceptable. There's potholes where I walk where it's not filled in, which I thought would ruin the laminate. They took it up two more times and filled it, and then we had them come back, and now we have an exposed floor. We have tried to sand that cement stuff, trying to make it smooth, and we believe at this point we have to take out the subfloor because it's like cement, and we're not able to sand it.
Wow. What is your question, Betty?
Okay. So we know we need to... Well, we're thinking, and we want to have some ideas before we hire a contractor from our local home builder association.
Mm-hmm.
Is it best to have some of the floor in the addition taken up, some of the subfloor, so we can bridge that?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
So your best bet, based on how you're describing it to me, is you need to feather the old and new floor together to get to that point where that ridge is gone. And if it's done properly by a qualified, this is a carpenter, not a flooring guy that's going to do this because it's the sub portion of it. Then the flooring contractor is going to come in and put the brand new shiny new floor over the top. You need a high quality carpenter that knows what they're doing to be able to feather this floor from the old to the new, bridge that gap for you. Then the Luan or whatever the underlayment is you want to put down on top of that works. And then you can put the new floor on, and you won't feel the pock marks. You won't do anything. It'll just be fine. It'll be perfect. Thank you so much for the phone call. That Tony heard was 10 o'clock. I think John Williams is standing by. Good morning, John. Do I need to hit a button? Good morning, John.
I want that lady to ask more questions.
Why? Are you not prepared for today?
Actually,
hey, I just found out something. I just found out something that I'm curious about. You know how they usually say that the apple does not fall far from the tree?
Right.
I just found out that your son is living with a couple of young ladies.
Yeah,
is that something you did when you were...
Nope.
Are you still just amazed that you actually still live with a lady?
I got another shocker for you.
Yeah.
My other son is living with his fiancée.
Okay, well, that I get.
Oh,
I didn't ask this.
That's not how we rolled in 1977,
He's not dating either one of you, is he?
No.
Roommate? Oh.
No.
Right.
No, it's completely platonic in Griffey's situation.
Yeah, that's what they say. No, really, Mom. No, we're just friends.
I think if you want to live in Chicago and you're of a certain age, it's almost mandatory that you have somebody to help pay the rent.
Well, isn't that how you're finding out as you and Brenda get ready to move back to Chicago?
Yeah.
I've got a room available for the two of you.
Lewis constantly, this may not surprise you, but Lewis constantly sending me text messages with unsolicited advice mm-hmm. about all sorts of things. This is new, but lately he's just been saying, why don't you live here? Hey, here's a house. And it's very nice of you, Lou. I appreciate you kind of keeping your eyes open for us.
And now your wife is just texting me directly. You're out of the loop.
All right. Well, I got to do a radio show, Mr. Manfredini.
All right. Have a great one.